Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 67, if you will. Psalm 67. So I welcome you all this morning, online, offline, on site, off site. Are we? Real time. What's the opposite of that one? Eh? Fake time. Or extra time. Hallelujah. So whatever time you might be in, whenever you might be listening to this, welcome you. God's word retains its potency, its relevance through generations. Hallelujah. In so much that I've heard testimonies of people who listen to things months down the line, and the message was for the circumstance they were in. In fact, words of knowledge were for them at that time, and they got healed. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So Psalm 67, you should have found that now. And it says in verse 5, let the peoples there, of course, just means that different kind of people, different nations, different tribes. That's what it means when you use peoples in plural that way. You know, otherwise, if you're a good English student, people means people. Abby, people is already pluralized. But when you say peoples, then you are basically referring to groups of people now, of course, because now there are groups, it's not, I mean, of people representing different, whatever they might represent. You are, students, you are workers, you are young, you are old, you know, so those are groups, those are peoples. And it says, let the people, so no matter who you are, no matter what category you belong, it said, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And what happens? It said, then the earth shall yield our increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Meaning that when he blesses us, the way we bless us, it will make people afraid. They will say, ah! I mean, and that fear has within it, embedded within it, reverence also. So people will see what God will do for us, and they will, you know, fear and tremble that, you mean that God you serve is the one who did this for you? Amen. But how does that come? The Bible says that it's when the peoples praise you. So I want to speak a little bit about the heart of worship this morning. It's been on my mind because one of the biggest things for me in my walk with God has been worship. If you even hear me preaching, I sing. It's not because I'm trying to show that I have a good voice, but it helps me to just switch. It helps me to forget myself and start relying and focusing upon him the more. So that's why I do it. It's not just a tradition. And I learned that again from other people that have been a blessing in my own walk with God. I realized that many of them were deep worshipers. Many of them were people that did it. And what I do here, I do also, in fact, I do much more in private than I do here. And as a matter of fact, I have songs that I've written, songs of worship, that I've not even sung in public. I sing them in private. And maybe if Brian Kenny is very nice enough, I will give them to him to release in his album. You know, but there are songs that I sing privately, but I don't even sing them. But they are just they just express my deep worship, and they came out of deep worship to God. Can I have an amen? But so this morning I'm talking about the heart of worship. Really, when we talk about worship as believers, it's not just the singing that we do. Worship is actually our whole lives. You know, we worship him with all of our lives, with everything that we do. So your walk is worship to God, really. The way you treat the next person to you is worship to God. You know, so if you ever thought that there was a Christian life and there's a time you can zero out of being a Christian, and then you say that you're a worshiper, then you are wrong. Okay, because everything you do is an act of worship to God. So you have to bear that at the back of your mind, that everything you do is rising up to God like a worship, like a worship offering. In fact, that's why we quote very often Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says that now let us present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And then the last phrase says what? It says, which is your reasonable service. That word service there is also the word worship. So it says, offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable worship, your reasonable worship. So my reasonable worship is my whole life placed upon the altar of God. My reasonable worship is my presenting my total being to God. So I look at everything, and everything without exception is expressing praise to him. Can I have an amen? That's why in Matthew chapter 5 also, the scripture says that you should let your good works show unto men, but they might glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when they see your good works, what happens? It allows worship to rise up to God. So when people see, let your light so shine before all men, but they may see your good works, and then they will glorify. Can I hear you say glorify? So worship rises unto God by the way that we live. So please do not think, this morning confine ourselves to what you call the colloquial use. Colloquial use means the common use, you know, of the word worship. However, please, just as a foundation, know that actually the life of worship is about how you live, generally. Can I have an amen? So everything is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. It says, whether you are eating or whether you are drinking, whatever you do, whatever at all that you do, he said, do all to the glory of God. So whether you eat, whether you drink, so even your eating and your drinking ought to be to the glory of God. So everything is worship. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And that's why, we heard earlier this morning about the testimony. So somebody could say, hey, I saw something. Do you swim? And diagnosing somebody's problem. And he said, how do you know all of that? And he said, I just saw. God showed me something. Amen. And once you say that, that allows the person to be in awe of God and to worship God. Can I have an amen? I mean, that's why Pastor Wayne also told us that at work, he solves a problem. And the people say, how did you solve that problem? The first thing he says is, it's God that helped me. And the people are in awe of that God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I like 1 Corinthians 10:31 because he uses very mundane things. He uses things that are very trivial in order to express the gravity or the depth of the issue that he's talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, so when he says whether you eat or you drink, he's talking about that the eating and the drinking that we do, usually without much thought about it. Usually without thinking that will have anything to do with my Christianity, is saying that those things ought to bring worship up to God. If you remember in the Old Testament that there was a king by the name of Solomon, and the Bible says that when the queen of Sheba came from Ethiopia to see Solomon, and she heard him speak, and she saw everything. She saw the apparel of his servants. She saw the way they laid the tables. She saw all of that, and she said, oh, the half of it has not been told me. And she began to give worship to God, because she then said, oh, how God loves his people that he gave them such a wise king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what they were looking at, or what she looked at, was not just Solomon speaking. She looked at what the people were wearing. She looked at how they laid the table. She looked at every simple thing that was there, and it stirred up worship within her to God. Are you with me this morning? So when people see you and they see the things that you do, the secular things that you do, do they see God in those things? Are those things being offered up as worship to God? Are you doing it with a consciousness of the fact that this is to bring worship to God? And when people will see it, they will realize that this is of God. Are you there? So like I said, but this morning I want to confine myself to that common use of the word worship, which is to praise God in singing, in speaking, and all of that. I want to confine myself to that. And I want to do so also because there are depths of it that look like it's escaping us. Incidentally, I had this on my mind to say this. For a long time, actually, I've been saying to myself, God, I need to say things about this. I mean, it's not anything deep or you may not have heard before, but I kept feeling like I need to revisit this because this is the key. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the key to a deep walk with God. This is the key to knowing God. Of course, many other foundational truths will apply. You know, your study of God's word. In fact, you will not worship him aright if you don't know him, because how you'll get to know him is by reading what he says. But when you read those things, it should stir worship and it should ensure that you are able to worship him appropriately, because you can see, you understand, you appreciate who he is. Are you still there? But if you have a depth of the reality of the presence of God, you will have to be a worshiper. And I'm saying again, but this morning I'm confining myself to that common use. But what I'm saying also is that many are not even worshiping in the sense of just praising God appropriately. Let me just throw this one out there. That if you cannot worship God here, with all of the lovely sound, the keyboard, the drums, and all of that, if you cannot do that, then you can't do it at all. Are you with me, anybody? And if you have all of this augmentation and all of this assistance and you are struggling, then it's a sign to me that you can't do it at home and you are not doing it. And you should be able to do it at home, even three times more. At home, there is no pastor and why to stop you. And say, time is up. Are you with me? One of the things I even discovered, and that's because when you understand the power of worship, or let's say praise and worship, so you can understand how I'm using it now, okay? But keep the foundation I laid in your left hand, you know, for the future and for application in your general life. When you understand the power of it, it becomes your number one priority. In fact, I found over the years that I do a lot more worshiping than I do asking God for things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I found out that I do less of asking him, I want this, I want that, do this for me. But I spend a lot more time worshiping him. I thought, well, you know, sometimes you're worshiping him in your quiet time, in your closet, and all of that, and you are conscious of the time. The time is going. I need to get to praying some issues. I discovered that it's difficult for me to shift. And sometimes I go to pray about something, I get back to worship. And then I was listening to Pastor Bill Johnson, and he began to express the same thing. He said over the years, his quiet time has changed completely. And he spends a lot more time just worshiping God. He doesn't even get to praying and asking God about certain things. But guess what? He said God does those things. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what happens to me too. He does many things that I didn't even get to ask him for. Are you hearing me? If you remember, Jesus was speaking in the book of Matthew. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. He knows what you need. I'm not saying don't ask, but I'm saying he knows. I think it was in the book of Isaiah. He said, before they ask, I will answer. So God has the ability to answer before you ask. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't be in a hurry to say, is this matter I must ask? Come the appropriate way. Worship God. Do the appropriate thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the other things will happen. That's what our text is saying to us this morning. He said, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then, can I hear you say then? Then the heart will yield its increase. We didn't ask the earth to yield its increase. He said, but then when we praise you, O God, the earth will just yield. The increase. The increase will just be coming. Even though we did not ask for the increase, what we did was to praise God. Are you with me? Let me help you a little bit more. You see, the word praise there, when it says let the people praise you, means to throw your hand out in intensity and in worship and reverence. It means you worship God with reckless abandon. When you get to the place where nothing matters and you are just thinking about him and you are throwing up your hand, you are not conscious of who's to your left, who's to your right, who's in front, who is behind, what might they think about you? You are just thinking about God. He said when you get to the place where your heart is all fixated on God and you are just worshiping God, he said the heart will yield its increase. Forget about that one. Are you still there? You know, I've even begun to find that I don't mind praying. I don't mind singing. I don't mind praising God. When I feel like doing so and it's just coming out of me, I don't mind who is with me. And I'm saying that even when it's not in church and somebody's with me, I don't mind. Have you discovered that people will swear and curse even when you're around sometimes? Have you discovered that those who swear and all those things, they don't look around before they swear? Are you here or you've gone home? So why would you look around before you sing? Are you with me? You know, I said before, I went to a birthday and I'm still coming back to my text. I will try to be, I'm now repentant with time, a little bit, not completely. But I went to a birthday. I said that story before some years ago. And it was, so I was invited to come and, you know, pray for the celebrant, blah, blah, blah. Just pray for the celebrant, really. Not really preach. So I came there early, sat down, you know, people arriving, music was on. It was all of the kinds of music you don't want to hear, you know, but it was all blaring and, you know, blaring at highest volume and whatnot. So I sat there in one corner and I was just praying, you know, just praying. And then they started off and the MC was cracking all kinds of vulgar jokes and what have you and all. And I thought to myself, in this atmosphere, I'm supposed to come and pray. A lot of my friends have been doing some milestone birthdays recently. And I see some will go to church. They do the 1 hour service, you know, amen. And then they switch to nightclub. So church and then what follows after that one is completely different from what you just saw. So it was that kind of thing. And I thought to myself, so I'm supposed to come up and then I pray and then they switch back again and all. And even to pray in this kind of atmosphere, and I began to pray to God. I said, God, we need to take charge of this atmosphere. I command this atmosphere. I seize this atmosphere and all of that. And then the guy called me up and I came and I grabbed the mic and I began to sing. Of course, you know the people now. Just stand there, finish what you are doing. You know, but by the time I sang a little bit and then said a few words and then prayed for the celebrant, the atmosphere changed. And when the MC took the mic, he wanted to continue his jive and he was struggling. So he said, Pastor has changed this atmosphere. And I was laughing in my corner that the guy, he actually picked it, that the atmosphere changed. And he struggled, at least till I left. He struggled. He couldn't get it back to that. So he was doing his job, but he couldn't get it back to all the vulgar and blah, blah. He couldn't. I mean, so in frustration, he had to say, Pastor has changed. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. God really needs worshipers. That's why he says when we will praise him with that reckless kind of abandon, which is what it typifies or signifies when you lift your hand. In fact, the intensity is described in some concordances as if you are turning and twisting your arm. You know the kind of pain that you will feel, the kind of moaning and groaning. He said when we praise him that way, it's intense, it's tough, it's coming from our heart. Things happen. Why do those things happen? Because God actually needs worshipers. God seeks worshipers. Can I hear you say God seeks worshipers? You remember in John chapter 4, Jesus met this woman by the well of Samaria, and then in verse 24, they had a conversation. I'm cutting that short for now. And then he said to her in verse 24, he said, the hour is now, but God is looking for true worshipers. Can I hear you say true worshipers? Who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I always like to simply explain that and say by the leading of the Holy Ghost or with their whole heart, are you hear what I'm saying? And also in the truth of God's word. They will do it by the Spirit, and they will do it according to the scriptures. He said God is looking for true worshipers. I think sometime I was preaching and I said, you know, God doesn't have many needs. In fact, the offerings that we bring to him, he said, if I was hungry, I would not tell you. I mean, I won't be telling you, hi, God, I hunger. Please give me some money. Please bring pounded yam. He said, if I was hungry. So if, when he was saying it to them, you know what the people were offering to him? They will bring ram, they will bring goat, and all of that. So the mindset was that we have dealt with God's needs. And God said, hey, don't miss it. That's not the real deal. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So this is not food. The real deal is your worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you have to understand, therefore, that if God is seeking this, this matters to God. That's why the psalmist, that in the text that we read in Psalm 67, is telling us that when we do it, God reacts. God reacts to it. Another way to look at it is what he said in Psalm 100 and verse 4, when he said that you should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, what he was putting up was the picture of a king. And that when you approach a king, there's a way to approach a king. You don't approach a king anyhow. There's protocol. Can I hear you say protocol? So one day, somebody took me to a king's palace in Lagos. And he just came and he said, Dwayne, come, let's go. Follow me to this king's palace. I mean, it was a senior person. So out of respect and out of curiosity, I said, okay, sir. So we went and we got to the palace and I realized I did not know protocol. So I stood behind him. If he sat like this, I sat like this. If he stands, I stand. So that they will not say, who is this one? What's he doing here? The protocol of approaching God is that you have to enter with praise and thanksgiving. Are you hearing me? You know, if you read the book of Esther, Esther was a queen. She was actually a queen. But Esther's people, the Jews, were in trouble. There was an edict that said they should be killed. And then Esther's uncle came, sent a message, and said, look, you need to approach the king for us so that the king can turn this command around so that we will not be killed. And then Esther said, you know what? The king has not seen anybody for some days. She said, everybody go and fast and pray. I also will fast and pray. And then after the third day, I will go and see the king. He said, because if you just go and approach the king anyhow, your head is gone. She was saying there's protocol for approaching. If he doesn't call for you, you don't usually go to him. So she said, fast and pray. And then I'm going to breach the protocol. But the key is that she was saying there's a way to do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And God is saying to us, there's a way to do it. If you come in and all you are doing, you just jump into God's way. God, you know, all these problems, you know. That's why very often also it seems like we're having ineffective praying. It looks like we don't get answers to prayers. You know, when you approach God the right way, you get answers. You get answers. Sometimes the answers are not what you think they might be, but he will tell you what to do. Are you hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying specifically now, but I'm thinking of something specific, but I'm not saying the specific story. But I've had people say to me, but you know, I was praying and God said, pray for this person. And I said, no, I don't want to. But that was the key. Once you approached him the right way, God could answer and say, this is what you need to do. Not anything else you think you want to do, not anyhow else you want to pray about the matter, but this is what really needs to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? So I want to say a few quick tips to help us get back to it, because I think that the depth of worship is missing in many gatherings. In fact, years ago, you know, people would say to me, we have a church convention, come and attend. And I say, look, I'm quite busy. But they say, well, if you can't make any day, please come on Saturday. That's our worship worship day. And I said, that's the last day that I will attend. If I get the time, I will come on other days, but I won't come on that day. And they always wonder why I say that. I say, because many times I leave the place grieved. Many times I leave grieved because people just don't know what they are doing. Are you hearing me? This is a key to turning your personal life around, your personal issues around, your prayer life around. So let's talk about a few things that will help you and help us as a church. Number one is a matter of the heart. So first and foremost, your heart matters. Somebody said the heart of the matter is that it's a matter of the heart. Your heart matters. Can I hear you say my heart matters? Where is your heart? When you are praying, praising, worshiping God, where is your heart? What are you thinking about? What do you focus on? You know, I'm thinking about a service where, Reverend Colladi was saying in church, they collected the offering, and apparently they were counting the offering after service, and they saw a piece of paper there. And they saw tote, 10. Road, 15. Not the exact figures, but something like that. Okay, road. And they were looking at it and wondering, what is this? And the woman there just took it and said, road. So what was going on? What they were having service. It's Tatase and Rodo that somebody was thinking about. The Tatase she wants to buy, the Rodo she wants to buy. And she forgot when she was putting offering, she put the paper inside. Her mind was gone. So the women understood the tongues. When they saw it, they said, Tatase the Rodo. Are you there? It's a matter of the heart. Are you still with me? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. So when you come to God's presence, take everything away from your heart and focus on Him. Fix your heart on Him. If you are going to be a true worshiper like John chapter 4 qualifies it, then fix your heart on God. Can I hear you say, fix your heart on God? It means forget everything, including yourself and your needs. That's why I like that song, let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate and worship Him. Are you hearing me? You need to forget about it. Forget about whatever the issues are. Look, while, for instance, you come to a service for 2 hours, whatever the issues you have, they are still there. Nothing will happen to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Except you do the thing that I'm saying, something might happen to them. But while you are here, there's nothing you can do. Are you following me, anybody? Even when you worry, Jesus was talking about worry in the book of Matthew. He said when you worry, you can't add 1 cubit to your height. It means that you are not going to grow taller. You are not going to reduce in size. Worry will not even help you. One of the things I told myself about worry is that there's no point worrying about something, because if you could solve it, you would have solved it. So to sit down and keep worrying, it means that you don't have the solution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So focus on the person who has the solution. Are you with me? Like why worry, the Baba told us many years ago. Abi, for those who are old enough, he will say, why worry? If you worry, you go die. If you don't worry, you go die. Why worry? Ngbano. Abi? So leave it alone. Leave it in God's hands. When you stand to praise Him, fix your heart on Him. For that moment, leave everything else out. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore by Him, that is by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, to explain further, the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. The nice word, intriguing word there, is the word sacrifice. Meaning, you know, sacrifice is there's some pain. There's something you are giving up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something you are giving up when you are making a sacrifice. Say, I will sacrifice my time. I will sacrifice this time for you. It's just for you that I'm sacrificing this time. It means that it's taking something out of you. It means that sometimes when you come to praise him, he's taking something out of you. There's some trouble. There's some issue. But then you offer him the sacrifice of praise. Are you there? Noble A said, oh, blessed memory. Noble A said he had a daughter, just one daughter. And she was sick. She had big, big nodules on her skin. And she was unsaved. She was on drugs. She would go to the clubs, and he said it all bothered him so much. Great businessman, anointed heavily by God, and I'll say an apostle of worship. And he said, look, he kept thinking and thinking about it, but then he got to switching and just worshiping God. He said, and he will thank God for his daughter's salvation, praise God, and worship him, and she will come back drunk. He said, and one day she came back from the club. She was all stoned up. Stoned means that you're high on drugs and whatnot. And she entered a room and an angel came and stood by her. Appeared to her. He said he scared her sober. And all of the thing on her skin, the skin became like new baby skin. She fell, ran out. Daddy, 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 I saw an angel, I saw an angel. That's how she got saved. She's a preacher today. Are you with me? It may be a sacrifice, but offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips unto God. Are you still with me? Revelation chapter 4. I like this very much. Revelation chapter 4. So when you come, I said what? It's a matter of the heart. Put your heart upon God. Forget everything else. Take a moment to just adjust yourself. And say, okay, you know what? Yes, the bills are there. Yes, I hold this money. Yes, there's this trouble. But you know what? For the next 3 hours, it's gone. Are you with me? And you can do that in your closet. You wake up and you say, for the next 30 minutes, the next 1 hour, it's just me and God. I'm leaving all of those things aside because I know God's got my back. Hallelujah. Revelations 4:8, the Bible says the four living creatures, of course, he was talking about the vision of John the Apostle when he was on the island or an island called Patmos, and God revealed a lot of things to him. So he saw heaven, okay? Revelations 4 and verse 8, the Bible says the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. So he saw the throne of God, and this was what was seen around the throne of God. It says, and they do not rest day or night. So there were four living creatures. They don't rest day or night. Remember what I said earlier, that God seeks true worshipers. So one of the things God has around his throne are these creatures that don't rest day or night. And what do? They're not carrying pong-pong or blocks. Are you with me? They're not trying to build your castle in heaven. It's not as if they're trying to build your mansion, okay, that they are coming. Then they are all busy, all the people that are coming to heaven, and they are busy building the mansion for them and all that. That's not what they're doing. They're not mixing concrete. I mean, is it not concrete we call it? Concrete. Uh-huh. So they're not mixing concrete. They're not carrying pong-pong, the thing they used to carry. That's not what they're doing. The Bible says they stay there. They don't rest day or night, saying what? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is and he is to come. So one set of creatures, that's all they are doing. Just saying that day and night. And then verse 9 says, whenever those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then there are 24 elders again around there, and the 24 elders will fall down before God who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne. So they have crowns, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Are you with me? The 24 elders cast down their crowns before him in true worship. they realize our crowns mean nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are going to worship him truly, when you get in his presence, your crown means nothing. I hear there are people who pray and say, I, Reverend Odubanjo, say to you, Lord, I ask of you. Who is Reverend Odubanjo before God? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Or hi, Chief Doctor. No. You don't have any title before him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are nobody before him. You need to realize that when you come in his presence, you are a nobody. He is everything. He is all in all. They cast down their crowns. You leave all of your achievements. So some people, when they stand and praise and worship is going on, they are busy thinking about how important they are in society. So they can't kneel down. Are you with me this morning? Look at your neighbor, say, it's not talking about you, I know. And some is the white that they are wearing that's the problem. That white is so white, it must not touch the floor. Even though the spirit is moving them to kneel down or, God forbid, lie down. Are you with me? They will consider the white. Some will consider the money of the laundry. Am I saying the truth? But in true worship, you fix your heart on God, you forget everything else. Can I have an amen? Number two, you are mindful. You are mindful of what you are saying or singing. So we don't just sing, we don't just say things, we don't just mouth it out. Mindful means is full in our mind. We understand. We try to grasp what we are saying. That's why I like it when they sing. They sing all of the traditional songs in whatever language, I don't care. But please put the interpretation for me. Are you with me, anybody? You know, so I like the effort they've been putting in. Put the interpretation there for me. Because if you don't, I won't sing it. Are you hearing me, anybody? Because I need to be mindful. At that time, many times I just switch. I'm just praying and saying my own words to God. But I want to know what the song is saying. I want to know what it means. Because I want to be mindful of what I'm saying to God. Say it with meaning. Know what you are saying and mean what you are saying. Are you there? But don't just sing because of the rhythm. Don't just sing because the beat is nice. Don't just sing because we like it and all of that. But understand what it means. What does it mean? And what does it mean to you? Are you still there? And if you begin to think about, you know, God, like Psalm 150 talks about, he said, praise him, what? According to his excellent greatness, praise him according to the things that he does. So there are at least two ways that worship can stir in your heart. Think about his excellent greatness, even if you can't think about his mighty acts. His excellent greatness is enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just who he is enough for me to worship him. Just who he is. If I think about God, if I think about how all-knowing, how Jehovah Jireh, how El Shaddai, how everything that he is, it is enough to worship him. But then I can also add what is greatness, is mighty acts. So there are two things to think about. But think about what you are saying to God. Are you there? Let me quickly say this also on the side. That songs can be for entertainment. Okay, so you can sing songs that are just for entertainment. They are not for worshiping God. They are for entertainment. So if you want to worship God, then that's not an appropriate song. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's just for entertainment. There can be songs that are for edification or encouragement. So, because if we have to think about it, what am I actually saying or doing? What am I? Is this worship to God? Okay, now it's not to knock it. I'm just saying that the purpose is different, or the purpose can be different. Okay, and it's okay if the song is there to entertain us. Let's know that's what it's there for. Okay, but it will not serve for worship. Are you following what I'm saying? Or at least for general worship. Maybe if you are singing it privately by yourself, it also means something else to you. But we will have to be stuck with the words. And the words mean something. And they are just entertainment. Okay? They are words that are for encouragement. Now, again, I can sing it privately. And while I'm singing it privately, there's an interpretation behind my heart that makes me to worship God while I'm singing it. But then for in a general group, the words are what people will be fixated upon. So I'll give you one. If I sang, we're a chosen generation. Okay? We are a chosen generation. Blah, blah. Nothing wrong with the song. But it's edification. You understand what I'm talking about? It's edification. It's to edify us. It's not worship in that sense of worship to God. The words. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm not saying it's a bad song. It's a good song. But its purpose is different. And not every song that will be sung by Christians will be for worship. And that's okay, because we all need different things. At certain times, you need entertainment. At certain times, you need edification. At certain times, you need encouragement. There's this lovely Fred Hammond song that talks about, it talks about God's leading. I've forgotten the song just now. But it's a great song. It ministers to me a lot. But it's not worship. I can sing it and begin to worship God, because I'm thinking about how God has led me. I'm thinking about how God is leading me, and I'll begin to worship God out of that. But if I sang it in public, you will not grasp the worship. Or it will be more difficult for you to get and grasp the worship and get into a worship mode, because that song is only talking about the fact that God will lead you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So we have to know that the songs are different, because if we are mindful of what we are saying, then we'll understand also that when it comes to praising and worshiping God, as we like to call it, then we should be mindful of what we're actually saying when we're doing it. Hallelujah. Of course, you should avoid songs of unbelief. That should go without saying. You know, and that is any song that contradicts God's word, you should avoid that. If you find that a song contradicts God's word, that you know. Okay? Then you should avoid the song. Okay? I'm not giving any examples, but if you know a song contradicts God's word, then don't sing it, because what you do is confession also. And it's going to build what you believe. Are you with me? Okay, let me go further down into trouble now. Because many songs are written by Christian artists, not ministers. You understand that one? That's a rave that came from Christian artists. Okay? It came from Christian artists. I'm just quoting them. Somebody say, me, I'm not a Christian minister. I'm a Christian artist. I say, Egbamio. What is happening to us? Are you hearing me? You remember where I started from? That everything is worship. Your whole life. So somebody then tells me that he's going to go around churches. He's going to sell albums to Christians. He's going to sing on church altars. And he says, I'm not a Christian song minister. I'm an artist. Are you still there? But that's the difference. When you hear some people and you are almost crying. There's somebody we're somewhere yesterday, and we're watching these videos on YouTube, and this guy was singing. You know, one of the viral video that I've seen before was that part, this kind God, another one, you know, this big guy. I watched the guy, and there's something. So my sister-in-law was with me, said, you know, this guy, that whenever the song comes on, she says, our sister-in-law, she says she will get up. That my sister-in-law is usually very composed. He said, but she loses it. That I've seen her do it elsewhere. When she came to my house and the song came on, she lost it again. I said, that is what you call a psalmist. There's an unction. There's something. That person is doing it with an understanding of something. He's smiling, is this. He said, but that guy is not just getting upstage thinking that he's an entertainer. He's getting off stage knowing that he's ministering to people. That's why he's singing and people are crying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to be careful what we do with the songs. You know, they said that by the river of Babylon, there we sat down. Which psalm is that? Psalm 126, is it? Sir? Anyway, they'll find it. By the river of Babylon, there we sat down and then said to, the Gentiles said, what did they call them? They said to us, sing us one of the Lord's songs. Did you find it yet? They said, sing us one of the Lord's songs. And then they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What they were saying was that we were captives. And those guys said to us, sing us one of those great Lord's songs. We want to relax. We want to drink. We want to eat. We want to be merry. They said, sing us one of the Lord's songs. And the guy said, this thing is holy. It's holy. We don't treat it anyhow. Are you hearing me? Yes, Psalm 137. You know, we don't treat it anyhow. We don't just sing it anyhow. This idea, well, you're singing for us. He said, no. How can we? Let somebody say, how can we? Maybe it's a love song, we treat it the appropriate way. Can I have an amen? Somebody say, are you saying that Christians can't be, even in comedy or in this? No, they can be anywhere. But I'm saying wherever you are, understand that you are an agent of God. You might be a secret agent. So people may not know. You may not even announce to them that I'm a Christian or whatever, but you know that I'm a secret agent here. So when you come up and you do what you do, the people are rolling and blah, blah, but you're not making fun of tongues. You're not. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But when you are done, the people know that there's something different about this guy. And when they say, what is it about you? When you come up stage, there's something different here. You say, God. Are you there? That's why in the Old Testament they said what? The people prophesied with instruments of music. They prophesied. I thought prophecy was inspired utterance. It means that you can make the instruments utter something, even without words. And it doesn't mean that you are playing a tune that we know, but it means that there is something going in the atmosphere that spiritually has a meaning. Are you with me? So we need to do this right. Can I have an amen? So don't be a Christian artist, Brother Kenny. Actually, that's I'm just pulling his legs. I actually used him as a good example to say he knows the right thing. We've had conversations. So he knows the right thing. That when you grab a mic, there is a right mindset. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, let me get to the tough thing and last thing very quickly. And that is get rid of distractions. Get rid of distractions. Somebody say again. Yes. Yes. We don't have a bigger problem perhaps these days other than distractions. You know, too many distractions. Do you agree with me? We have too many distractions. Even me, I'm struggling. Too many distractions. They just, everything wants to grab your attention every time, anytime. It's too much. And we're also in a time and an age when people are even bragging about their ability to multitask. Research has found that you never do anything as best as you could with divided focus. Okay? That includes reading the newspaper while you are eating. Huh? You can't eat the food well. Neither can you read the paper well. or like it's done now, is to watch movie. Huh? So you are watching movie, you are reading something, you are talking to somebody, and then you say, I multitask. My friend, something is not getting to the level you should get to. Are you still there? But back to our real thing. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It's going to be a little read, but we'll read it. Amen. John 4 and verse 16. So, of course, you know, this conversation happened. This was Jesus with a Samaritan woman by a well, okay? And they were having this conversation. So, verse 16, Jesus said to this woman, this Samaritan woman, she said, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. One says, the one whom you are now with is not your husband. So moving in with somebody doesn't make him your husband. Can I have an amen? Cohabiting doesn't make him your husband. Hallelujah. Let the single shout a louder amen. So the woman, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. He said, oh, Baro. Verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers have worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you with me? The moment they got to, they switched the topic from the woman's personal life to worship. The woman jumped to distractions. They said, it's here, we should worship. They said, it's not there, we should worship. They said, that right place is the place to worship. They said, the right thing to do in worship is to kneel down and worship. They said, no, when you are worshiping, you should stand up. No, somebody said, no, we should lift our hand. No, they said, we shouldn't lift our hand. She just got into distractions. Oh, we should use drum. No, we can't use drum. Oh, we should play. No, we shouldn't play anything. Oh, we should. No. That's not the core of the matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, every time they put the organ, when the organ, if you have an organ and they play and hear, boom, the Holy Ghost moves. That's distraction. Those are not the issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those are not the issues. Oh, the singer missed the key. Let him miss it three times. That's not the issue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No singer mixing or missing the key can ever make me miss God. When I worship on my own. Are you hearing me? What you miss, I can hear you, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm doing something else. Are you still there? So don't just sing. Don't just do, and then you are carried away like everybody else with everything that everybody is doing around and all of that. We need to be careful about the distractions around us. When it's time to worship, you need to be ready to ignore. Some people will hear the door open, and then they look back. Are you the usher? They put an usher there so that somebody will take care of the door. And whatever is happening by the door, it's none of your business. Lights just went off. Somebody knows what to do. And it's not you. Because even if they ask you to do it, you don't know what to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't do it. So why are you bothering yourself? Leave it alone and focus on what you are doing. Can I have an amen? Don't get carried away with the distractions. You know, there was a time many years ago, I actually went to name a child. I did everything. No keyboard, no nothing. No, in fact, no microphone, no nothing in the place. I led praise and worship, and the Holy Ghost fell. Are you hearing me? And then I preached, and the child was named. You don't need all of those things to get it right in worship. It's good when we have them. They are supportive. But don't let them become crutches without which you cannot move. Don't become handicapped by those things. There was a time, is it the keyboard that was bad or the keyboardist that was poor? It's one of the two. But we were clapping. And the Holy Ghost was with us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If the keyboard doesn't work now, we walk into church, that's the end of praising God. Look at your neighbor, say, I know it's not you he's talking about. You know, one of the worst ones I've seen now is that we're praising God, worshiping God, people are filming. They are bringing out their phones and doing selfies. Eh? You know what I'm talking about? Eh? You've seen it, Abby. And then they're recording, they're in church. Hey, this kind God, another one, no deal. I said, what exactly is going on here? Are you with me? You get nothing out of that exercise. Are you still there? I mean, Brother Ruben is there. He's filming already. We are not going to use your video. I mean, it's poor quality, poor sound, poor everything. But what are you doing? Is it your cloth you want to show us? But you are losing out on something. It's what the economists call what? They call it opportunity cost. I mean, meaning that when you are doing something, you are losing out on something else. But in this case, you are showing us your clothes and you are losing out on God's presence and manifestation. Are you with me? Watch out for the dance steps. You can dance, or may I have no restrictions with it. Dance. But again, he's looking for what? True worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. It's coming from your heart and it's according to God's word. I'm fine. Do whatever. But don't do it to distract people. Don't do it to even distract yourself. You know, I always say, we had Michael Jackson here before. Yeah, we had Michael Jackson. Those who don't know, he used to come to church. Michael Jackson attended church here. Black Michael Jackson. Black. Real black one, not the one in America. Nigerian Michael Jackson. He looked like, you remember him. And he would come and he would... And everybody will start looking at him. I will leave the man alone. Do his own thing. I do my own. Are you still there? Watch out for all of those things. I think Egan talked about clapping. And I remember when they released the book, what's it called now? Purpose. You remember that name? Not Purpose Driven. By Kennedy Egan. It skipped me just now. And he talked about worship and he talked about clapping. That clapping is not, Jesus visited him and said, clapping is not praise or worship. It caused wahala. But it's very simple what he was saying, which is that the clapping oftentimes is done at the wrong time. Oftentimes it's just a distraction. It's nothing about God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So very often, it's okay. I'm fine with it. You can clap for people. If somebody sang well, you can clap for him. But know that you clap for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Know that it's him. You appreciated what was done. You clapped for him. But if you are going to worship God, do what God said to do. Can I have an amen? Let me just stop right there. So remember what we have said this morning. We need to get back to the heart of worship. We need to focus on God when we do these things. We need to realize that this is not about us. Can I have an amen? We need to focus completely on him. Realize that it's a matter of a heart. Our heart must be fixed on him. Be mindful of what you are saying or what you are singing and watch out for the distractions. Okay? If we do it that way, which is what our text was describing as in Psalm 67, and he said, let the people praise him, you know, intensely, with their hands lifted, in worship. Let them praise him that way. He said, then things happen. When we do it right, things will happen. Remember in Acts chapter 16, they were thrown in jail, Paul and Silas, and the Bible says at midnight. They were in jail, they were in prison at midnight. He said Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. They didn't care who heard. And the Bible says that the place was shaking. And all of the prison doors, the shackles on their hands and feet fell off and the doors were open. And then the warden came and he said, hey, he saw the place open and he took a sword and was going to kill himself. And Paul said, hey, don't do it. We are all here. Meaning we didn't even do it with the intention of escaping. Are you hearing me? That's not why we were doing it. We were just doing it because we were thinking about God. Even though it was midnight, but it was a sacrifice of praise for us. But this is how we live. He said, let us offer that sacrifice of praise continually. They said, so this is how we live. And at midnight. midnight, we were just doing what we normally do. And then all of the prison doors flung open. We were not even thinking of escaping, and we're not escaping. Are you with me? 2 Chronicles 20. Maybe you stand on your feet. We'll end it there. 2 Chronicles 20. The children of God were faced with armies from different countries who came to attack them. They gathered together to attack them. And they decided to fast and to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. The Bible says that when they did, there was a word from God that says, don't worry, you will not need to fight in this battle. He said, for this battle is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. Are you with me? That's verse 20. It said, this is the Lord's battle. Believe the prophets. They believe God, you will prosper. They believe the prophet, you shall be established. Believe God, you'll be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. And then verse 21. When the king consulted with the people. You know, I used to think that it was God that told them, that put singers in front. No. The Bible says, when the king consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now, verse 22 said, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, and they were defeated. So God told them, in this battle, you will not need to fight. This is my battle. And then when they sat and they talked, they said, so what do we do? What military strategy would we operate? And they said, put the choir in front of the army. This verse of grace, will you go in front of the army to Zambesa Forest? But he said, put the choir in front. And they went in front and they were singing. And the Bible says, as they were singing, the people who had gathered began to fight each other. They began to fight each other. Time will not permit me. I will not tell you the story how they fought each other. Brother Kola knows how they fought each other many years ago in Ibadan, where we had gone on a mission. And they fought each other and we had no clue. I think he was the one who brought a message and said, you don't know what happened during the week. They fought each other, stabbing each other. Because of church. We don't want church here in this Muslim enclave. But we had no clue. Are you with me, anybody? God is God. We need to praise him and just worship him and exalt him. I don't care what your issues are. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, but it's all about you. It's all many people were already healed earlier on in the service. And if there are others who came later, just tap into God's tangible presence here this morning. And if you are online, the same thing. Just tap into that right now and take it. And just take whatever you need and just worship God and thank Him for your healing. But if you're here this morning, you need to make peace with God. Very quickly, wherever you are, put your right hand on your chest. Either you've not been born again or you were at some time you walked with God. But now you know that you walked away from God. And you want to get back to God the way you should. Then I want you to put your hand on your chest right where you are. Even if you're at home in a car, whatever it is, do it. Thank you for doing that. And just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I present my life to you in worship. I submit to you. You gave your life for me that I might have right standing with God. So right now, I commit mine right back to you. I will live for you every day of my life to the best of my ability because I recognize you as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for everyone who prayed that. Thank you for drawing them. And thank you for keeping them and steadying them along this journey and strengthening them. Thank you because they will do the right things of praying, of studying the scriptures, the Bible every day, and of attending a Bible-believing church. Thank you because they will grow and they will flourish in the name of Jesus. The praise and the glory is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, thank you for every need here this morning. Thank you for doing amazing things. Amazing things, incredible things for us. In fact, the scriptures say that you daily load us with benefits. The scriptures declare that those that seek you will not be ashamed, neither will they be disgraced. So I declare this morning that every need is met. I declare this morning that you will go ahead of us this week and you'll work out amazing miracles on our behalf. Because we believe it's done already, we thank you. We thank you already. We praise you. We worship you. We commit today to become true worshipers. We commit that we will indeed focus on you, both in our closets and in public, but we'll always focus upon you when we worship you, and we'll give you praise from the depth of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray.